Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to address the topic of neediness.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's right, I said neediness in the workplace. By needy, we mean the people who need a lot of your time and your attention. So our question comes from a person whose boss needs to talk several times a day. The boss constantly interrupts his employee, which in turn makes it difficult for the employee to do their job.
Ooh, la la.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, how do you tell your boss to be quiet and go away?
I think that's the problem.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
All right, Casey, what do we got here?
I'm facing a tricky situation concerning my boss. He's really smart and pays me well and has taught me a lot about our business, but he's also very needy. I have a cubicle close to his office, and he comes to my cubicle 6 or 7 times a day. He just stands there and clears his throat. When I turn to face him, he begins talking. Either he shares some bit of trivia about our industry, or he tells me some story about his past exploits, or he quizzes me about what I'm doing. It's beginning to drive me crazy, and it makes doing my real job very difficult. I don't want to insult the guy, but I can't get anything done. Any suggestions?
Not really. I don't know, get another job. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I've heard about needy coworkers, but a needy boss.
I mean, I think it happens more than we realize.
So I don't understand why the guy's not busier. But anyway, what you have to do with anyone who's needy is be less available.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how you do that as an employee. And then they'll find somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So my guess is that this person is, you know, always available.
Well, all right. So I see it a little differently,
which
is what makes things interesting. I think part of the problem is the proximity to the boss's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think what's tricky about this is that the boss may think that the employee should want to learn from him, because it says at the beginning he's really smart and has taught me a lot about our business.
Mm-hmm.
So the boss probably tells himself, oh, you know, whoever my employee is would love to know about this. So what I'm thinking, actually, Kathy, is something that you often suggest to me, which is that whole thing of managing up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting for this person to come, since we know he's going to come visiting several times during the day, to actually go in the morning and check in and approach him and just say, you know, just want to check in and see if there's anything you wanted to tell me before I start my day, and let that boss also know what you're going to be working on. Then, and this is just an idea, it may or may not work, but if he then comes to join you in the middle of the morning, which of course he will, you could say, and again, Kathy, you've taught me about this, I'd really like to hear your story or answer your question. Can I come to you in 30 minutes when I'm done with this section of my work?
Maybe. I mean, needy is needy. A needy person,
yeah, it's not going to go away.
Is look, just needs attention.
Yeah,
the needy is the key part. That, I mean, that might work, but I think that they feel lonely, and they,
right,
you know, maybe they need to have a TV in their office so that they think there's other people there or something.
You could buy them a TV as a gift,
or maybe you could get your cubicle moved.
Uh huh.
That's going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, this is part of the job is what I'm going to say. This is part of the job is, mm-hmm, that you have a boss that likes your attention. I don't, you know, mm-hmm, maybe, you know, you can try to just be very busy and say, you know what, let's talk in about an hour. I've got to get this worked out. You can try that,
mm-hmm,
and maybe they'll go find someone else who's willing to listen. But I don't know. I think it's part of the job. That's my concern.
Right. No, I agree. So I guess what I'm suggesting is to take it on as, I mean, I was told long ago that people attack when they want more from you. So one way is, mm-hmm, to, if you acknowledge this person is needy,
mm-hmm,
is going to need my attention, then, and you confront it in a way first part of the day, then it may give you a higher chance of managing it. You're still going to have to manage it. It's not going to go away.
Yeah. Well, that's a possibility.
Possibility.
Yeah. Or you could just always be, you know, pick up the phone when you feel them.
When you feel them coming.
And then, you know, put up with one finger. I'll be with you right away. I'm on an important call. You know, so you can try those kinds of tactics.
Yeah.
Like I'm really busy or, you know, hunch over in your cubicle like you're really, you know.
Yeah.
And then act sort of disturbed when they, you know, want your attention, like they're pulling you out of a deep thought.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe they'll get that you're really busy. Yeah. I suspect this person entertains them.
Ah.
Entertains them a certain amount and therefore
never sets a boundary with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So you're saying just to start with would be to at least try saying, I'm in the middle of something.
I'm really busy. Let me get back to you.
Yeah. And hope that
Yeah, and hope they'll find somebody else. I mean, if this is not about work issues, this is just about this person is lonely. Maybe they're single and they're just lonely. Mm-hmm. They're a lonely person. So if it's that, then, you know, hopefully they'll latch on to somebody else.
Yeah.
But they might also really like you.
Exactly. And if it's someone who's taught you a lot, they may have think of you as their student or their mentee, you know, so they may hold you in a certain way that, of course, you're going to want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a little tricky.
Yeah. And they may, you know, you may make their day. Which is not why we go to work.
You may be doing adult daycare for this person.
Yeah, so you can try all those tactics. And you know, needy is needy. Needy is a problem. Most of us don't come to work to handle our coworkers' needs or a boss's needs. We go to work to work. But this is actually what most of us face.
Yeah, and I guess that's such a good point because I think one of the things, if you are the person being interrupted constantly, you may hope that somehow you'll say something in a certain way that they'll get the message or that they'll finally be filled up. But the truth is,
no.
There's no filling.
No, the message, I think you have to be more, you really have to...
Be less available.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if I felt them coming behind me, I might, like, jump up at that moment and say, oh, I'll be right back, you know, and then go somewhere. you know, just try different tactics of not being available and see what happens. Because needy people, they latch on to a person that has some time.
They'll find someone.
Yeah, they always find someone.
Okay, so we're talking about, at least at the beginning, to set a boundary by showing that you're not available. Various things could be to pick up the phone and pretend you're talking to someone when you sense they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suggesting meeting with them at the beginning of the day and telling them what you're going to be doing. And when they come, saying, I want to hear what you have to say. I just want to finish this piece of work. We're also suggesting maybe you should have a partner in crime, like someone who you can... suddenly start a meeting with
when
the boss starts to approach you.
Right. And be prepared. They may get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So here's the deal. And it's true. It'll certainly be true for this boss that when you set a boundary, there's a thing that's called the change back, where the other person unconsciously will double their efforts to get you back to the old you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in this case, if you say, for example, you know, can I get back to you in a half hour? I'm in the middle of something. They may say, oh, yeah, yeah. But then come running back 5 minutes later, testing your boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do then, Kathy?
I think you have to start looking for another job. I mean, I'm so sorry here. I think that this is really a tough one. I mean, you can't actually come to your boss and say, I have a problem with you. You know, you can't do any of that. So if they don't get the hint and they don't latch onto somebody else, you got a big problem.
Yeah. So in the long run, it's not sustainable.
I don't think it is.
All right. So
do you think it is?
No, I think it's very difficult to manage. I do know that in some cases, you know, that a professional may have a mentor who then does become very needy of them. And it's painful, I think, for the recipient.
Yeah. So it's going to end up ugly.
Yeah.
In general, because they don't want to be rejected. If right. that's the case, mm-hmm. then you're rejecting them, and it's going to get, you know, somewhat ugly.
So you're saying that in any case, you should probably start looking for another position, your next opportunity.
Or get your cubicle moved. I mean, can't you just get moved sometimes?
Or, you know what else? You could just get the cone of silence, like get a big cone that goes over your cubicle that he can't get into.
That's a joke, I think.
I don't know. I was just envisioning it, but I don't think it's possible.
We don't have that much control over our bosses. And this is not a business issue. This is more of a personal issue with right. this person.
Right.
I mean, maybe you could take him out to dinner and you could discuss it over dinner and mm-hmm. just say, if in fact it is the mentor kind of thing, and just say, you know, I've so appreciated it.
Yes.
But I really want to focus now.
Yeah.
And I need less time. Maybe, you know, we can just meet once a month. You know, I think he's going to have to, or she's going to have to take this up with her boss yeah. if that's the case.
Yeah. In some way or another.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. So if you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2. And we're going to come back and talk about needy coworkers.
Yes. And if you want to get onto our email list, text us at 228-28 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word. You can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment talking about managing needy coworkers versus managing a needy boss.
Yeah, it's a different situation.
Oh, my God, it's so much easier. Yeah, so there's a lot of needy coworkers for whatever reason. Maybe they want to learn from you, or maybe they just like you. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to get away from their area.
Yeah.
But, you know, or maybe they're just needy people. But setting a boundary with a coworker is really easy.
Uh-huh.
As compared to the boss. But, I mean, it's not easy for a lot of people, because people that are very friendly and very nice,
yeah.
they're not good at setting boundaries. They want yeah. everybody to like them.
I want to say that I had a needy coworker when I was working at the New York Foundation for Senior Citizens, and I had a very hard time setting boundaries with her.
Why?
Because she was such a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And
they tend to be.
I felt badly for her, but the truth of the matter is, and this goes back to what we talk about with boundaries, I noticed that I was getting angrier
yeah.
and meaner towards her. And, you know, one of the things we tell people is whenever you find yourself consistently angry or irritated with someone, it's time to set a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to ultimately learn how to tell her that I couldn't listen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How'd you do it?
I said something like, you know, I'm so interested in what you have to say. Or she'd come to me with questions all the time that she could answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I did actually, I think one of the things that you've recommended, which is I sat down with her at one point and I said, look, you've learned the tricks of the trade. I think now it's more about you finding the answer. So when you come to me, if I think you've got the answer, I'm going to tell you to go back and try to solve it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so bad. She looked like a puppy who'd been hit, you know.
So, okay, so then the next time she came and you said, I know you know the answer to this,
yeah,
what
I said,
happened?
Can you figure it out? And she said, well, I'm not sure that I can. So then I had to say, all right, let me look at it for a minute. And then I said, are you sure? And she did eventually go mm-hmm. figure it out.
And then she became less needy of you?
She became less needy of me.
And then she latched onto somebody else?
Yeah, she found yeah. another
That's
instructor.
What they do. That's the thing you have to remember about needy coworkers is mm-hmm. that if you pass on being their, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call it? You're the one who fills their bucket.
Yeah.
They find somebody else.
Right.
And then you can watch that and feel bad for them. But
yeah,
you know, this is not a workplace behavior.
Yeah.
It's really a personal behavior that people bring to the workplace.
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about this from, again, from the receiving end, because I think there's an interesting aspect of ego here, like there was for me with this woman. I liked being the person with the answers mm-hmm. on one level, you know, and so I think in some ways I enabled the situation. Mm-hmm. So I just say that because if anyone here likes to help, mm-hmm. likes to be the person with the answers, likes to be, as you said, nice, this kind of coworker can be a real challenge for you.
Yeah.
Because even when they go and get answers from someone else, you may feel like, gosh.
I know somebody who's really needy who will ask the question and then will go ask five other people and then yes. come back and tell you how yours wasn't right or that somebody else.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a whole level of needy that you got to kill.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we all have a workload to do and mm-hmm. we don't, that's not in your job description, mm-hmm. you know, to handle the needy coworker. So setting a boundary, you know, you can be very nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by saying, you know, I don't really have the time, but I'll catch up with you later.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, we can set up a time we can both meet, but I can't really help you right now.
Yeah.
Maybe so-and-so can help you. Just keep saying no.
Yeah. In a variety of ways.
Right.
I can't help you right now.
Right.
And what they say, you're the only one who can help me.
Come back.
You know, 5:30.
Well, you pick a time that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
And then you can also set a limit. You can also say, you know, mm-hmm. I'll have a half an hour at that time. That's all. So please bring everything you need for us to look at this. So if you make it that kind of strict,
yeah.
the needy person really wants more.
Right.
That's not going to be very attractive to them. So
right.
they'll find somebody else.
That's a very good point.
They don't like timers. They don't like, you know, they don't like being corralled in like that.
Well, that's a very interesting point because the truth is that the neediness is usually propelled by an intense feeling of anxiety
yeah.
in them, mm-hmm. right? So you're right. They're looking for, a needy coworker is usually looking for immediate gratification
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to relieve their anxiety about what they don't know or mm-hmm. what they think they need help on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good point. If yeah. you set boundaries, if you make it clear, if you say, come back in, you know, 2 hours and bring your agenda and we'll look at it together, that probably will deter them enough, or they'll go on to someone else.
Yeah, they'll get their answer somewhere else. But this is really about, you know, people that are very nice and like
yes.
to, and have a need to be liked.
Yes.
And a need to help.
Yeah.
They're the ones that fall into this category. I've fallen into it also.
Yes.
At a certain point, you have to learn that that's not in your job description.
Yeah.
And that you really can't help. These people can sometimes end up in your home for dinner, right?
For Thanksgiving.
Well, for anything. Because they're needy. And if you give them an inch, they'll just take more.
Yeah,
so
it's
you have to
complicated.
Be careful.
So I'm going to bring up another thing, which is the term ambivalence, which ambi means two, valent means feelings. So you may have two different feelings towards this person.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel badly for them, and you may also find them intensely frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have to kind of handle. I think in setting a boundary, you're going to have to move through the discomfort that, you know, somehow you feel a little mean if you're someone who thinks of yourself as a nice person.
Oh, it's definitely going to feel mean.
Yeah.
And especially to them, it's going to feel really mean. I mean, they're going to be crestfallen. They're going to be hurt. All
yeah.
of that. You have to deal with that. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little bit of an act, I think.
The neediness?
Well, no, the, you know, crestfallen and hurt.
Yeah.
I think, because they rebound when they find somebody else. It's been my experience.
You're speaking from experience.
Yeah.
You've seen how happy they are after they found their next person, Bethel?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's important to know they're going to be okay. When you say no, they will live.
That's right.
Live on.
That's important to know that they will live. You are not killing them.
All right, so the theme here in both of our examples, needy boss, needy coworker, is the importance of setting boundaries.
Yep.
The fact that you're going to feel mean when you do it and that you still need to keep practicing and take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it for this segment.
Tweet us your stories about needy bosses and coworkers to @SK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.